Oh, hallelujah. What a great service already. You guys feeling the presence of God in here? Hallelujah. Well, you'll be happy to know I'm living up to my promise. This is a shorter message today. All right. It's a six pager. Is that okay? I cut it down about 3 to 4 pages. So we're going to do this. Go with me to Isaiah 9. Isaiah 9, 6 and 7. I'm going to read the same passages as I did last week. Couple more verses in Luke, but we'll start with these two first. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government will be upon his shoulder, and his name will be called Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace there will be no end. Upon the throne of David and over his kingdom, to order it and establish it with judgment and justice from that time forward, even forever. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this. Now go with me to Luke chapter 2. Luke chapter 2. Did you guys have a good week? Ah, come on. Praise God. Luke 2. And let's look at 7 through 20 here. And she, Mary, brought forth her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger because there was no room for them in the Holiday Inn. The inn. Now, there were in the same, you guys are awake out there, all right. Now there were in the same country shepherds living out in the fields, keeping watch over their flock by night. And behold, an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were greatly afraid. Then the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which will be to all people. For there is born to you this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be the sign to you. You will find a babe wrapped in swaddling clothes lying in a manger." A manger is literally a feeding trough for animals. Verse 13, "And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of heavenly hosts praising God and saying, 'Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men.' So it was when the angels had gone away from them into heaven." I don't know, that always just strikes a chord in my spirit. "When the angels had gone away from them into heaven," back into heaven, isn't that amazing? "That the shepherds said to one another, 'Let us now go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has come to pass, which the Lord had made known to us.' And they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. Now, when they had seen him, they made widely known the saying which was told them concerning this child. And all those who heard it marveled at those things which were told by them by the shepherds." Listen to this. "But Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. Then the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things they had heard and seen, and it was told them." So the title of my message today is simply this: the gift of God. Say that with me: the gift of God. Now, this is the time of year that obviously we celebrate the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, it's agreed upon, listen to this, by most scholars that Jesus was not born in the winter. Did you know that? Jesus' birthday really is not December 25th. Hello, somebody. Some say that it was the fall. Some say it was in the spring. And how did they come to that conclusion? They come to that conclusion based on the fact that there were shepherds living out in the fields. All right? Would you live out in the fields if it was in the winter? Probably not, right? They were living out in the fields watching the sheep. So they say that it was a warmer season for that to take place. So whoever, you know, whenever you always got those Christians, you know, well, Jesus wasn't born in December. You know, they kind of throw some shade on the whole ordeal, right? I get it. December, winter is probably not the exact time of the arrival or birth of the Lord Jesus Christ. But this is a time that we as Christians choose, say choose, to remember and celebrate the divine gift, come on, of the Lord Jesus Christ from our Heavenly Father. Again, that exact month is not known. But, you know, I kind of got this feeling on the inside that Jesus really doesn't care. I don't think Jesus is offended at all by that. He is simply pleased that we are recognizing and we are celebrating him and his, come on, first arrival into this earth. I mean, you know, that was his first arrival. He's coming back again. Amen? Amen. And really, think about this. We should be celebrating the Lord Jesus Christ and his first arrival every day as a Christian, should we not? And we should be looking forward to his second arrival, his second coming. Now, we should remember his first arrival and be thankful for it coming to pass. And I always tell people this because sometimes the whole story, you know, the whole account, it just kind of gets common to us on the inside. You know what I mean? So I always got to say this. This is not a good bedtime story. This is not a fairy tale. This literally happened. This is history. Amen? There really was a Lord Jesus Christ. Amen? He is alive and well today. So just slap yourself real quick and say, yeah, this ain't a fairy tale. This isn't just a good bedtime story. No, this is reality. Amen? Everything in the Old Testament points to Jesus Christ. Did you know that? Everything points to him. The law of the Old Testament was meant to reveal Jesus to us. It was meant to reveal our need for Jesus. That's why Galatians 3 talks about the law from the Old Testament. It says the law was a schoolmaster. All the commands, all the rituals, all the set. It was our schoolmaster to lead us to Jesus and show us our need. Thank God we don't have to go out and slay lambs and sheep and all that stuff, right? Two turtle doves and a partridge and a pear tree, whatever it is. Thank God we don't have to do all that, right? But Jesus' birth, that amazing event was not meant to be a secret. There was a building up of anticipation and excitement for many years before his first arrival, before the spotless Lamb of God came on the scene. Amen? A building up. The whole Old Testament is a building up. The Messiah is coming. All these prophecies, all these prophetic words. Amen? Think about this now. Jesus left heaven. Jesus departed eternity. He departed a perfect, glory-filled, peaceful environment and entered into our time frame of history. Come on a hell-bent and curse-filled earth. Think about that. Say, thank you, Jesus.
Thank you, Jesus.
Say, thank you, Jesus, for leaving heaven and coming to earth to deliver me from evil. Go with me to Galatians chapter 4. Galatians 4. Hallelujah. Talking about the gift of God this morning. Who is the gift of God? Jesus. Amen. Galatians 4, 1 through 7. Now I say that the heir, as long as he is a child, does not differ at all from a slave, though he is a master of all, but is under guardians and stewards until the time appointed by the father. Even so we, when we were children, we were in bondage under the elements of the world. But when the fullness of the time had come, God sent forth his son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those who were under the law, that we might receive the adoption as sons. Let this sink into your spirit. And because you are sons, God has sent forth the spirit of his son into your hearts, crying out, Abba, Father. Therefore, you are no longer a slave. Therefore, you are no longer a slave, come on, but a son, and if a son, then an heir of God through Christ. Now, God himself chose a certain slice or piece of time to not just send his son Jesus to this earth. He didn't send Jesus, just didn't send him to this earth. No, no, no. Isaiah says this. Isaiah 9:6, what I read, it says, unto us a son is what? It doesn't say sent, it says is given. Say given. Now, there's something special, there's some different dynamic from sent to given. You understand what I'm saying? There's just something different about that word. The word of God in Galatians describes that time frame where Jesus was given. He was sent, yes, but it says also he was given. That time frame Jesus arrived, it says it was the fullness of time. Say fullness of time. It was the perfect God-given timing for the arrival of God's gift of Jesus Christ to humanity. Listen to me. Now, I'm going to break this down to you on a personal level now. Is it okay for me to do a few rabbit trails here? Listen to me. That is why you and I can trust the timing of God. You and I can trust and rest in God's timing for our life. Spiritually speaking, this is what came to me, this whole thing, as I was studying this and writing this message. I said, are you sure, Lord? You want me to bring up this? Yeah, somebody needs to hear it. Spiritually speaking, you can either give birth to an Ishmael or an Isaac in your life. Listen to this. An Isaac is the perfect will of God by trusting and waiting on the Lord. Or an Ishmael is you trying to work things out in your flesh outside of the perfect timing of God. Say perfect timing of God. You will make a mess out of everything and bring hardships into your life if you lack faith and trust and obedience to the Holy Spirit and the Word of God. We got to personally stay within the timing of God. Say the timing of God. Say the timing of God is crucial. See, what happened was in that whole situation, Abraham failed to wait for the promise of God. He jumped the gun and he sidestepped away from even his wife Sarah. He had relations with Hagar and it was all flesh, not God's plan at all. And look what what mess it has caused. That's all this tension in the Middle East. Come on, you know what I'm talking about, right? The Ishmael and Isaac, the descendants of both of them are still fighting. And they will fight until Jesus returns a second time and the lion lays down with the lamb. Are you hearing me? I also want to bring to your attention, in connection to Jesus, that God sent John the Baptist to prepare the way for Jesus' arrival for his earthly ministry, to declare who Jesus was, the significance of Jesus, and to declare, John the Baptist declared the beginning of Jesus' ministry. John declared this boldly, right? Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. That declaration from John the Baptist, that basically was, and then Jesus got baptized, was the beginning of Jesus' earthly ministry. But what I want to pull out of that for us is that when something significant is about to happen in our life, in our ministry, as it gets closer, come on, to that divine appointment, to that releasing, for the stage curtain to open in your life, the Holy Spirit is preparing the way. He's preparing the way for that to take place. He's preparing for that divine appointment into your life. Listen to this. Are you ready for this? You know, we like to use the term suddenly, a suddenly. Wow, that was a suddenly, right? But here's what the Holy Spirit said. He said, what seems to be a suddenly to us humans in the natural realm is simply a manifestation of all the activity, all the preparation that's been taking place for a long time in the spirit realm behind the scenes. It just became a suddenly in the natural realm. Just like Jesus. Well, all of a sudden he was born. No, there was a lot building up to it. There was prophetic words saying he's going to, thousands of years before Jesus came on the scene in this earth. There was a preparation. You better believe there's some work going on behind the scenes in the spirit realm. Amen? So here's what I got to say in connection to that. Don't get discouraged. thinking that God has forgotten about you. He is working. Oh, I feel the anointing right now. He is preparing the way. He is preparing you for great things in your life. And your job is very simple. Right there. Be still and know that I am God. And simply obey and cooperate with the Holy Spirit. Simply just keep walking in obedience to the Word of God. And you better believe the Holy Spirit's preparing the way for you, just like John the Baptist did for Jesus. Amen? The Holy Spirit, listen to me, will get your attention when the time is right for you to know and when the time is right for you to act or move. Amen? Don't jump ahead of God's timing. Jesus came on the scene in the fullness of time, the perfect time. Amen? Any later, any earlier, it wouldn't have been right. It was the perfect timing of the Lord. So be praying and expecting divine appointments in your life. Now, so Jesus was given to humanity as a gift from God, our Creator, a gift that has the potential, come on, to change every area of your heart, every area of your life. In fact, there's not one area of your life, body, soul, and spirit, family, whatever it is, marriage, whatever it is, that Jesus can't touch and heal and restore. Amen? And Jesus can even change someone's eternal destination, their destination for eternity. So our faith in Jesus and what he has accomplished for us is so powerful that, listen to this, as Galatians says, our faith in Jesus, what he accomplished, is so powerful that it changes our spiritual identity from a slave to a son. Did you just hear what I said? Some of y'all have still got an identity of a slave. You got to switch that over to a son, a child. That means a child of God is what really what he's saying. We are made heirs of God through faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. This is, you got to get a revelation of this. Everything that belongs to Jesus belongs to us as well as Christians. We are heirs. That's what an heir means. It's an inheritance. Amen? How many of you know what an inheritance is? Come on, somebody. In fact, when our Heavenly Father looks at Christians, he sees his son Jesus. Now, that's an identity shifter right there. You got to meditate on that. Amen? Because we as Christians are sons of God through Jesus, God has sent, it said in Galatians, God has sent the Spirit of his Son, the Holy Spirit. What that's saying is, That's not Jesus in us. That's the Holy Spirit. He's saying the same Spirit that was in Jesus. Because how many of you know Jesus is not on the earth right now? He's in heaven. The Holy Spirit's the only part of the Godhead that's here. So Jesus is saying, and he said it in John 14, in 15 and 16. He said, you know, you're going to receive the same Holy Spirit. Amen? The same Holy Spirit that Jesus had, we have him in our heart. And it says this, the Holy Spirit cries out in our hearts, Abba, Father. Say, Abba, Father. Now, some of you, you're like, okay, I just said that. I have no idea what it means. How many times do we do that as Christians in church? We just, you know, you hear something, you read something, and you just move on. I say that all the time, but it's an epidemic in the body of Christ. Let's slow down and figure out what it means. Wouldn't you want to know what Abba Father means if you're saying it? Yeah. All right, here we go. Listen to this. Abba Father means this. It means an emotional intimacy combined with reverence toward God. Did you just hear what I said? It means an emotional intimacy combined with reverence toward God. It reveals that we as Christians, as sons of God, we can approach our Heavenly Father with a childlike trust and affection. Say affection. And yet, at the same time doing that, you know, approaching him with that childlike trust and affection, we can recognize at the same time his authority as a loving and compassionate father. Now, what is the word reverence? That's the same thing as this, having the fear of the Lord. You know, you remember when you were a kid or something, or a teenager, you did something wrong, and you came home, and your mom said, your dad's going to talk to you when you get home. And all of a sudden, you turn different shades of pale, right? You know what that's called? That's called fear. That's called reverence. Are you hearing me? We need that kind of reverence that we want to please God. We want to have that childlike trust and affection, but at the same time, reverence him, that we don't want to displease him. Hello, somebody. You understand what I'm saying? So it reveals that we as Christians, that we can approach him with that kind of attitude. The Holy Spirit is in our heart, it says, basically, leading us and trying to keep us as Christians within that Abba Father spiritual mindset about our Heavenly Father. Did you just hear what I said? That because it said the Holy Spirit is in us and it cries out, Abba Father. So the Holy Spirit's trying to get your attention, my attention, to get to that childlike place, to get to that intimacy, that emotional intimacy with our Heavenly Father. Yet, at the same time, it's a perfect balance of that emotional intimacy with our Heavenly Father, but, come on, what? Reverence. Say reverence. Reverence. All right. So we need to allow the Holy Spirit to soften our heart and sharpen our focus on Jesus and our Heavenly Father. Amen? Any negative perspective, the Holy Spirit wanted me to share this. He said, any negative perspective about our Heavenly Father is from our flesh or from the enemy, or both. Do you hear what I just said? Any negative perspective about our Heavenly Father is from our flesh or from the enemy or them working together. How many of you know the enemy works in the flesh? Amen? You got to understand, God is always and only good. Amen? Say that with me. Say, God is always and only good. Hold on to that. Amen? Hold on to that, and that will help you discern when something's from the enemy and something is from God. Amen? So the blessings and provision that Jesus provided for us are absolutely amazing. And it all started with his arrival, with his birth on this earth. So the arrival or birth of Jesus, listen to this, it was such an amazing gift. It was such an amazing event that it impacted both the spiritual and the natural realms. Did you hear what I just said? Jesus' birth impacted both the spirit realm and the natural realm. A very bright star appeared to signify his birth. And angels were involved in declaring the event to the shepherds in the fields. Now, let me tell you something here. All right, let me tell you something real important about God. Let me let you in on a little secret, a little clue here about how God works. If God uses angels to announce and reveal something on earth, it's a very serious matter that God doesn't want to go unnoticed. Did you just hear what I said? If you have an angelic encounter and God's passing on a message to you, it must be pretty important. Would you agree with that? Well, that was the birth of Jesus. It moved the spirit realm and it moved the natural realm. One angel announced it to the shepherds. And then it says, after that announcement was given, it says there was a multitude, say multitude, of heavenly hosts praising God and saying glory to God in the highest. And on earth, peace, goodwill toward men. I love that. God, listen. God sent Jesus wrapped up in peace for you. He sent him with goodwill for you. Oh, say goodwill. There's something about that. Goodwill. God has good desires for you. He has a future and a hope for you. He has goodwill toward you. Why would God send Jesus to deliver you and then you think he's trying to kill you? Why do you think he would send Jesus, by his stripes we were healed, and you think God's giving you that sickness or disease? Come on, somebody. It doesn't make sense. It's schizophrenic, spiritual schizophrenia. Are you hearing me? So the angels of God had joy, a revelation of the glorious gift that God was given to humanity. In fact, angels and the entire kingdom of God in the spirit realm, the word of God says they're in constant awe. They're in constant awe. They desire to look into. They desire to be around and see the amazing favor that God has given us as humans. The question is this. If angels are in awe like that, If angels want to look in and they want to be where God's moving, come on, somebody, if they want to do that. The question is this, do we have a revelation of God's gift of Jesus Christ to us? Do we as Christians have an awe toward the Lord Jesus Christ? Or has that gift of Jesus, like I said, has it become too common to us as Christians? Oh, I've heard that story before. I heard that 1,000 times. Well, maybe you need to hear it 1,000 more for it to sink into your heart. Amen? If angels are that excited, why aren't we as humans, as Christians, excited about this thing? Do we really have an awe of Jesus, the spotless Lamb of God? If Jesus and the name of Jesus has become common to you like any other earthly person, any other earthly name, then we need a reality check today, don't we? Yes. Say, today is my reality check of the awesomeness and the power and the authority of the Lord Jesus Christ. There is an authority and power in the name of Jesus. There is no other name under heaven given to men or humanity whereby we must be saved. Salvation, healing, deliverance, freedom, protection. Every blessing comes through the door. One door. And his name is Jesus. Amen? Jesus is the only one that can remove the curse, remove the curse off of your life. Jesus is the only name that you and I are expected and required to exalt and have faith in on this earth. You know, every other person's going to let us down on this earth. You do know that, right? Have you found that out yet? But there's one who will never let you down, and his name is Jesus Christ. Jesus is the only name that we need to preach and proclaim everywhere we go. Amen? Why are things happening? Why isn't the power of God going? Well, maybe we're preaching too much of self and not enough Jesus. Amen? When we do that, we are presenting, when we proclaim Jesus, when we teach Jesus, when we exalt Jesus, when we do that, we are presenting, we are introducing a gift to every person we encounter on this earth. The gift that you partook of, you are presenting that to other people. Amen? But it's up to each person. You can give them the gift. You can present the gift. But it's up to each person to individually open and take advantage of that gift personally. Amen? Grandma and grandpa's not going to do it for you. Your mom and dad aren't going to do it for you. This is a personal thing. Salvation is a personal thing. Amen? Our Creator God sent and gave his son Jesus to make peace between God and man, to all those who put their faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. It says in John 3:16, you all know it, for God so loved the world that he gave. He so loved that he gave his only begotten son. God provided for our spiritual need for Jesus because of his love for us. Here's what you got to know about love then. Ready? Love gives what is needed, not what's wanted. Love gives what is needed, not what is wanted. Amen. Jesus, listen to this. Jesus was sent to mankind as a spiritual life preserver, a spiritual lifeboat. Oh, come on. Jesus was sent to this earth as an ark. Say ark. In a flood of curses and sin to deliver us from destruction. Jesus is that ark. Jesus is that lifeboat and preserver. Amen. Maybe you stepped away from that ark and you're outside of that boat and you feel like you're drowning. You need to get back in Jesus. Isn't that interesting? It says to abide what? In Christ. Get back on the boat. Amen? The word peace in Luke 2:14 means prosperity. Say prosperity. I'm not talking about the world's version of it, all right? In the Word of God, prosperity simply means this. It means to have a good journey, a safe journey. It means this as well. You ready? Having enough for your own needs and to share with others. Having enough not only for your own needs, but to share with others. I like that. Jesus was sent to redeem us from the curse of the law through his perfectly lived life, and then his death and resurrection from the dead 3 days later, to redeem us from the curse that entered this earth through the sin of Adam and Eve. So God didn't leave us. This is what you got to understand. If you feel like you're in a hopeless situation, you feel like the waves are overtaking those curse waves, you know, you're outside of that boat, they're overtaking you. God did not leave us in this world hopeless and to let us live a miserable life. He gave us Jesus Christ so that not only we can have eternal life in heaven, but we can live a blessed life here on earth. Amen. That's what you got to understand. Everyone's just simply looking to heaven, which is important. Absolutely. But listen, there's blessings for here and now. Amen? That gift of God is not only for us personally, like I said, but we are supposed to be declaring. We are supposed to be telling. We are supposed to be sharing that gift of the gospel of Jesus Christ with all of those around us. Think about this. God has not only saved us, healed us, and blessed us, but he has also, come on, equipped us to be a blessing to humanity around us. He's done all these blessings in our life, but it's not meant to just stay in your life. We are equipped to go outside of these four walls and to be a blessing to everyone around us. Amen? We are a part of the body of Christ on this earth. We represent the Lord Jesus Christ on this earth. In his absence on this earth, come on, he is counting on us to be him on this earth. He is counting on us to walk as him. What he started, he wants us to continue and not stop doing it. And the word says it this way, Jesus said it this way, occupy until I come. Occupy until I return. Keep doing the works that I did. And not only the works that I did, but John 14:12, greater works. Greater, say greater. Greater works, more works. Come on, somebody. I mean, there is so much more. And the purpose of that is not for you and I to put a feather in our cap when someone gets healed. All right, when you see gold dust or you get angelic feathers on you, whatever it is. All right, no. The purpose of that is to be a blessing to humanity, to advance the kingdom of God on this earth. Use everything in your life, your gifts, your talents, your spiritual gifts, use them all to represent Jesus and advance the kingdom of God on this earth. That's why the Word of God says that we are stewards. Say stewards. We are stewards of our gifts and talents. They're not our own. They're on loan from God. Remember Rush Limbaugh used to say that in the beginning of his radio show. He goes, gifts and talents on loan from God. That's how we got to see it as Christians. It's all, and we're expected to steward it. That's why we need the character of Christ matched up with the gifts and talents from the Lord. Right? Because if you're not having the character, but you got the other stuff, you're going to cause a whole mess. Guess what else you'll do? Ready? You'll split churches. Did you just hear what I said? Oh, you didn't hear what I said. If you don't have the character of Christ, but you're trying to flow in the gifts, you will split churches and you will hurt Christians. You will do more damage because you're not representing Christ well. Amen? So the gift of Jesus to us personally should be the gift. Oh, listen to this. Ready? Should be the gift that keeps on giving to others. It's not just meant for yourself. The gift of Jesus to us personally and what he has done in our life should be the gift that keeps on giving to others on a consistent basis. We weren't born again to be lazy. We weren't born again to ignore the rest of humanity. No, we have a job to do. We have a heavenly mandate to preach Jesus. Amen? Just as Jesus was on this earth for a very small space of time, we also, come on, are on this earth for a very small space of time compared to eternity. Think about that. Isn't it interesting? You look back on history. You look at people. I don't know. Henry Ford, I just watched something about his mansion. So that's why I'm saying him. But you look at these people, right? And and it's a small space of time. We have a very small space of time. I don't care if you live till you're 120 years old, it's still a small space of time. I don't care if you live till you're 50, it's a small space of time. It's a very small space of time, and we are expected to do the most for the Lord Jesus Christ on this earth that we can do. Amen? Amen. So take time during this Christmas season as we enter and as we enter into this new year of 2026 to do like Mary did. Ready? To ponder in your heart. This is what you need to ponder on. Ponder in your heart your relationship with your Heavenly Father. Ponder the things that God has done in your life. Ponder on the prophetic words that have been spoken over you. Ponder your current direction in your life right now. Ponder your God-given purpose. Ponder on the space of time that you've been given on this earth and where you're at right now. You know, people always say, oh, you, when they're in the 50s, oh, you know, oh, I'm in middle age now. No, middle age is probably more like in your mid-30s, high 30s. Did you just hear what I said? When you look at the average lifespan, are you where you should be in your life with God and His plan? Do you feel the peace of God in your heart, or are you lacking peace in your heart? Are you filled with fear? Are you filled with anxiety about the future? Why? Ponder where you're at with God. Just like Mary, take the time to really pull back and ponder, to meditate on, to think about in your heart where you stand right now and the changes that need to be made. This is what the Holy Spirit said to tell all of us. Ready? Evaluate it all. Evaluate everything. Write every aspect down on a piece of paper and evaluate it where you're at. Stop sowing into the flesh and truly make the needed changes that will put the Lord Jesus Christ and your Heavenly Father back on the throne of your heart and life. God indeed did send the greatest gift, the Lord Jesus Christ, to this earth. Don't waste the possibilities. Don't pass up the blessings. Don't pass up the prosperity, the opportunity to have a, come on, successful and safe journey on this earth. Don't pass up the divine appointments from the Holy Spirit. And don't pass up the ministry opportunities that God has for you on this earth. Church, let's take advantage of every blessing that is available to you through the Lord Jesus Christ, the greatest gift that God has ever given to humanity. Let's stand in this place. Hallelujah. The gift of God. Prayer team, come on down to the altar. Hallelujah. Ooh, I feel the anointing of the Holy Ghost. It's a time of reflection as we end this year and go into a new one. Don't just keep walking blindly. Don't keep ignoring those things that have caused you pain. Deal with them. Deal with them. Ponder it in your heart. Pray to the Lord. Seek help. Seek counseling. Seek deliverance. Amen? Let's get the hearts healed so we can truly be that army. That army for God on this earth to advance His kingdom. Now, maybe there's someone in this place. You have never made Jesus Christ the Lord and Savior of your life. Do not leave this earth without doing that. Again, I say it every week, and I want to give you guys an opportunity, if you're not born again, that when you take your last breath on this earth, it's done. Your eternity is sealed. That destination is sealed. So please, if you have not made Jesus Lord of your life, come to this altar and pray with one of the prayer team members and say, I want to get born again today. Now, maybe this message really hit you very hard, and you're saying in your heart, I want to ponder all these things. I want to evaluate my whole life. I'm not going to keep going blindly and walking in the dark in my life. I want the light in the lamp of the Word, the lamp of the Lord in front of me. I want to know exactly where I'm at and the changes that need to be made. If that's you, I want you to come down and say, just tell one of the prayer team members that I'm going to take Pastor James and what he said. I'm going to ponder every area of my life. I'm going to evaluate it. Pray for me. If you're in here and you feel backslidden, you feel away from the Lord, you can come back today. It's only one step back to Him. Amen? You're the one that walked away from Him. He didn't walk away from you. All you got to do is turn around and He's there. Come forward. If you want to rededicate your life to the Lord, come forward and tell them, I want to rededicate to the Lord. If you've never received the Holy Spirit baptism, you need to if you're a Christian, because that's the equipping process. That's the ministry aspect. Yeah, there's advantages personally, of course, but that's primarily you shall receive power after the Holy Spirit comes upon you to be witnesses for Jesus. So it's primarily to be a witness for Jesus. That's the ministry aspect, to reach out to people. If you never received the Holy Spirit baptism, come on down. If you need prayer for anything else, come on down. Let me pray right now over the food and fellowship. Father God,